welcome to Stomp Talk again. Yes. Here we are at the Western Seat Association, Kansas City, and we're with Tina Bowling.
Yes.
You know what I like about that?
What?
Bowling Green, Kentucky. I can always remember you're from Kentucky because of that.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah, nice way to connect it.
You got to go some way. Kentucky as in the good part of Kentucky, like Lexington and all the horse farms and all that other good stuff.
That's right.
Okay, awesome. Tina, tell us about the Western. I mean, let's see. Okay, over 100 years?
Correct, 128 years.
That is freaking awesome and unbelievable.
And I have not been around that entire time.
No, we can tell. We can tell. Thank goodness. Well, and I'm interested, too, because when I sit down and I think about seed association meetings, Western's got to be, like, size-wise in the top three. I mean, I think about, okay, ASTA and their, you know, their big meeting that they'll have coming up in December, the field crops meeting in Orlando. Probably their flower and veg is pretty good size. And then the Western's got to fall right behind it because y'all have a really big attendance here.
We do. We're about 850 attendees. We didn't sell out our tables, our appointment tables, our exhibits this year. So it is definitely a growing association for sure.
That is very cool.
That's awesome.
You know, it's cool to walk into the big trading floor. I mean, really and truly, not just a trade show or anything. It's a trading floor, and there's all these tables out there, and all these companies have their names up. And then they're full, and people are talking and getting stuff done. And so what is it that brings people to the Western Association Seed Conference?
It is very business-oriented. It's different than most people think of when they sign up as a first-timer to one of our conventions. It is appointment-based. It is like speed dating, and they are running everywhere making deals left and right. So it is a very different feel. It's a different atmosphere. I think when you walk into that space, it's there's just wheeling and dealing is what I like
wheeling
to say.
Wheeling and dealing. Hey, you know, in it's a bit old school. It seems to me, so it's been a few years since we have come to the conference. It seems to me that years ago when you came, you didn't see anybody unless you had an appointment because they were all up in a hotel room or doing something. Mm-hmm. And you've transformed that. So you've changed that to bring everybody kind of down together so that there's a lot more activity. I'm sure there's still meetings that go on in hotel rooms and stuff of that nature. But what made the decision to bring back the trading floor concept?
We were getting so many people, and they are trying to find each other in a hotel lobby and the Crown Center and different places. So we were just trying to meet that need and give them a stationary place to tell people to meet them. So they're so much easier to find an appointment table than some person you may not have met before, and you're trying to stalk them on a LinkedIn picture to identify who you're even looking for.
That would be me.
Yes. So we did try a conference app one year to help with that, and people were like, we like the old-fashioned way. We just want to figure out who they are and find them, and this appointment table has really helped be that medium ground.
That sounds awesome because I have to tell you, I've gotten more into using conferencing apps, and IPSA has a conference app, and I have to tell you, I don't love them at all. I mean, it's a lot of work, and then, you know, you get some people that really send appointments. I want to meet with you, and it's like, yep, why? No, I don't want to meet with you. So it's a lot better. I like the concept of being able to be there in a table and have, you know, my name up, and somebody comes in and says, yeah, I need to talk to you about this. And boom. So I think that's pretty cool.
Well, and it kind of adds to the thrill of the chase, if you will, for the attendees here. And that's part of that atmosphere, which is nice to kind of see. It's different than you're right. Most people are going to the apps or going online and it's a text message. But this makes it so much more personable.
And that's we lose a lot of that, it seems like, in today's society. So I like that y'all are taking that back on. This is the first year that y'all have actually moved from the Westin to the Sheridan. Yes. Any special secret as to why you came? Is it a size issue? Is it just, you know, the Westin, you didn't like the Westin, you know, because y'all were there for, I mean, the Western was at the Westin.
We were the first group that they ever had when they opened the doors of the Westin.
Oh, wow.
Really?
So, yes. So
wow.
The Western Seed Association was there from the beginning of that hotel. So that was a big leap. For us to move to the Sheraton, but it was definitely just based on space.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is it's the same ownership of both, mm-hmm. so it's a complex, so we get to see some of the same familiar faces. But we had definitely outgrown the Westin, unfortunately.
It was always jam-packed, and I mean, boy, when you were in the lobby, it was crowded, mm-hmm. and the bar was immeasurable with people, hard to get a drink, so yeah. Absolutely understand that.
That problem may follow them around.
Yeah. Well, you know, that kind of happens when you have that many people trying to get into a bar. The only one I've ever seen that could handle it was the big bar in Chicago.
Oh, my gosh. And it was always so crowded.
Oh, yeah, it really was.
You couldn't walk from one side to the other.
Especially walking through that thing and then not bumping into 50 people that you knew and having to stop all that other good
impossible.
Stuff. And trying to get a drink there.
Oof. Yeah, it was bad.
Of course, we'll hand it to the, you know, Hyatt up there. They did a good job
at
serving drinks. They understood that, yeah, if you're going to be out there, you need to have a drink fast. Yeah.
It was like an addition to the vibe, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The vibe. But that was the only place I've ever seen can handle it. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
So what do you think is coming up next? What's in the plans for the future Westin and next year?
Next year, we're going to be back here at the Sheraton. We are moving our dates to mid-November, which is also a big transition for this group. But feedback has been really good about it'll be a slower time for them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're adding a full day of appointment tables and exhibits based on feedback we've gotten on the floor this year. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and half a day Thursday next year, mid-November.
Oh, wow. That'll be so, and of course, I bet you're looking at the dates around NAFB as well, National Farm Broadcasters. Mm-hmm. So they'll be here about the same time, I think.
Yeah, November 16th through the 20th will be our dates.
Okay.
2026.
Got it. Well, nice.
Yeah.
I do remember that, too, that it was always one of those things that you had the Westin and then you had NAFB right behind it.
They used to overlap, and then we split them up about the time I came on board with the Westin.
Well, that'll make you happy because that means that you don't have to worry about Halloween and Halloween parties and kids and all that other stuff
That's true.
Come to the Westin.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be better.
It will be.
That'll be nice.
It'll be great over here.
Okay. Well, fantastic. Well, Tina, I appreciate you taking a few minutes with us because, you know, as we've discussed, we'd like to have a, you know, strong relationship with Westin in between Westin and IPSA. And we're very excited to be here with you today and glad to see what y'all are doing and all the growth.
Well, thanks for joining us and thanks for having me.
Okay. Thank you. Well, welcome to Stalk Talk.
Yeah.
We have Jason Myers from New Farm on with us today. Jason, you've never been on with me and Catherine.
No, I haven't.
And we may have just forcefully put him on here.
Oh, we did, because I just, boom, hit the record.
Yeah.
So what I really thought is, hell, why are we not doing a sports talk show? I mean, every idiot does a sports talk show because most of them are in Razorback land, and I've, you know, the coaches podcast has no coaches on it. I did laugh my ass off about it, though. For those of y'all that don't know, Jason is a diehard LSU fan, and he loves the Tigers. And we were talking about Brian Kelly and the debacle that Brian Kelly brought to Tiger Stadium, trying to be like he a Southerner. Come on, y'all. Let's get up in here.
But you had a daughter who went to LSU.
I did.
Yeah. So you don't hate them, right?
They're my second team.
Okay.
Arkansas's number one, LSU's number two.
Okay.
And I do LSU's have three credit hours from LSU.
<There you go.
laughs> three.
Well, I have more. I paid for more than that for you at LSU. But, Brian Kelly was a debacle. We both have, you know, at least I will say this. Sam Pittman was a great, likable guy.
He was.
I wanted him to succeed so bad. Brian Kelly, the day that he was named that he was going to be the LSU head coach, I said, he sucks. I hope he fails.
No, Sam, I mean, you can't help but like a guy that says, what are you going to do after the game, Coach Pittman? I'm not promoting him, but I'm going to get me in a good old cold beer.
Go get me a cold beer.
But no, I felt bad for Pittman. But
you know, you got to at this level, you got to perform. I'll tell you the thing that got me about Pittman. Good guy. He had and I can't remember what the woman's name was because I'm not a professional guy here. But he had a woman agent, and he really wanted the Arkansas job back in 2019, really wanted it. And I got to tell you, after the Chad Morris debacle we had, which was another stupid move by Arkansas Athletics, nobody wanted that freaking job. Nobody. And Sam Pittman did, and worked at it hard, got the job. First couple of years, look, did pretty well.
Absolutely.
And then something happened. Let me tell you what it was.
Satan came in the picture. Satan, by the name of Jimmy Sexton, the devil of college sports.
Jimmy Sexton came in and absolutely became Sam's agent. Sam threw his other agent to the curb and renegotiated Sam's contract and screwed Arkansas, screwed the fans, and did what he does everywhere. Made a coach a lot of money, got one person a lot of money, and destroyed college athletics. He needs to be out of here, out of college sports. College sports is screwed up enough now with NIL and everything else. So anyway, tell us about New Farm. What's happening there?
Well, you know, we've mauled through 25. It's been a little bit tough out here for these poor farmers, you know, the commodity prices. But the way I look at it, you know, New Farm, with our strategy we have, the post-patent products we have, I think we'll be in a position where the farmers will look for us for solutions because of our price point and the products we have. And the nice thing about us is we have all three of our plants are here in the U.S., produce all our stuff here.
U.S.-backed. USA, baby.
USA. Now, we do have plants across the globe, all over, but 90% of our stuff is made right here in the United States.
Hey, look, that, you know, yesterday, Senate Judiciary took up the whole issue about seed input, not just seed input, but farm input costs and everything. And, you know, son of a gun, if we're not paying attention to what is made in the United States, and I love our country, and I've not ever been what I've been, an America First person. I am America First, but I think that, you know, we do a lot of different stuff and look at a lot of different places. But if local doesn't matter, and, you know, American production is local production, if local doesn't matter, local business doesn't matter, local ownership doesn't matter anymore, I don't know what we're coming to.
I agree, Todd.
I mean, you know, gee whiz. So that is a selling point. I mean, it beats the heck out of sourcing everything that's, where was that made? Oh, it's made in China.
I'm going to tell you a little funny story since you brought up China. My youngest son, Parker's 18. This is probably 10 or 11 years ago. We were watching Little League World Series, and it was China playing Texas. True story.
Whoa. China playing Texas.
Yes. I don't know if it was a final, okay, but it was in Little League World Series.
Yeah, Little League World Series. China. Playing Texas.
Some team in Texas.
Please tell me Texas beat the hell out of them.
I don't even remember, but we're sitting there.
Oh, look it up. Look it up. We got to know. Did Texas win?
And I asked Parker, I said, he was a little kid.
Against who?
China.
China was playing a team from Texas in the Little League World Series in Williamsport.
Oh.
And I said, Parker, who are you going for? He goes, China. I was like, dude, what? Why? He said, Daddy, they make all my toys.
Oh, no.
True story.
Texas did not win the Little League
World
Series.
Oh, my God.
The championship was won by Chinese Taipei,
yeah,
which defeated Nevada in the final.
Oh, boy.
Well, now, wait a minute. Let's back up. Okay. This is not quite the disaster that we, you know, initially might have thought. So it was Taipei, which means that it was actually Taiwan China, the good China, okay, not the communists.
Okay.
I just remember it was China.
Yeah.
China.
Oh, my, because they make all my toys.
Yeah, he said, Daddy, make all my toys.
And you know how things come around, man. Back, I remember when I was a little bitty kid, if it said made in Japan, it was crap. And then made in Japan was good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, later as a young adult, made in China, crap.
Yep.
Now, made in China, good. I mean, it's like, what the hell? And made in Memphis, crap.
Yeah.
Well,
what blows me away, just on that note, you know, go down another tangent. Elon Musk is putting a Grok mega center in Memphis.
Really?
Now, let's face it. Memphis needs some intelligence, but I'm not sure if putting an artificial intelligence engine in Memphis is going to raise the intelligence of Memphis or lower the intelligence of Grok.
I don't. It probably will lower it.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I don't know.
You live near Memphis.
I do.
Near, not in.
Yeah. But it's like our closest big city. We don't even have a Best Buy anymore. We have to go to Memphis.
Oh, God. Well, why would you go to Best Buy anyway?
I mean, I don't.
I mean, if you go to Best Buy, what are they going to tell you? Oh, we can't get that right now. Okay, yeah. So I'll order it off Amazon. Yeah, you should order it. Call Amazon.
And they probably don't know any of the specifications of the television you want to buy.
Not at all. I will say that since we don't have a Best Buy anymore, the Walmart in town has really stepped up their game.
Good for Walmart.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay.
You know, local business. Arkansas based.
Yeah.
We like Walmart.
They own the Denver Broncos. I was in Denver last week. I had no idea the Walmart family bought the Denver
Broncos.
Y'all have
so many. No,
it's not the Walmart.
It's
the Waltons.
Yeah, the Waltons.
Okay.
I'd forgotten that too. I wish they'd buy the Razorbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, they probably do own them.
In NIL's world, they could own us. They could own the Razorbacks.
True.
That'd be freaking awesome. The Walmart Razorbacks.
Walmart Razorbacks.
It works for me.
The Rollbacks. What if they changed it? Then how would you feel?
Roll them on back. Roll them back.
And I wonder if, like, everyone just does, like, a huge wave around the stadium. Like, it's rolling, but it's backwards, you know? There could be a lot of marketing aspects there.
I really don't have a comment for that.
Let's not name the Razorbacks Rollbacks.
Rollbacks.
No.
No.
But
the Arkansas Rollbacks.
Arkansas Rollbacks.
Well, right now, I'd be happy to roll back.
Yeah.
What does that say? Cat Franz.
Hmm?
What are you doing?
I'm multitasking.
Oh, my God.
As usual.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. What else are we doing today?
Just this again and again.
No, that's
only,
awesome.
Only with Jason. So every time it's going to be Jason.
This is
pretty
awesome.
Boring, Cat.
You know, I don't know. So let's see. Who's LSU playing this weekend?
We are playing Alabama. Oh, boy.
That's an L.
Yeah, that's an L.
That's an L.
We'll probably get L'd by Arkansas, probably Western Kentucky.
You know, right now, Arkansas ain't L'ing nobody. So we're playing Mississippi State this weekend. I ain't excited.
Mississippi State's, I'm proud. I mean, I feel so bad for them for the Texas loss, the Tennessee loss. But those guys have played some good football.
They have.
They're just, and they lost to Florida. I can't believe they threw that football.
Arkansas has lost some close games, but we just keep, I mean, honest gosh, I've never seen a team that can get right to the edge and walk over the sideline, take a 12-gauge, and shoot themselves in the foot. Yeah. I mean,
like the Memphis game.
The Memphis game. Oh, the Ole Miss game. The freaking Texas A&M game. And then that freaking debacle at Auburn where we, you know, four turnovers in the fourth quarter. Four turnovers. Are you kidding me? You
can't win that way.
No, you can't. I mean, it's just like, this is why you don't need sports betting. It's like, okay, what's the line? Oh, no. I voted the other way. Or I bet the other way. I voted. Bet.
Yeah.
You know, okay, there's one thing that I know that we'll dramatically agree on, and that is
Satan is in Mississippi, and the world is about to end because Ole Miss is headed to the CFP.
No doubt.
7-1 and Lane Kiffin. And let's see, I saw yesterday whether it's true or not, Florida has offered him
$81 million. For 81?
Yeah, for 6 years, $13
million
a year.
$13.5 million a year.
Can you believe that?
I did see an interview with him yesterday where he said he's in, I guess you got to take it for his word, but he says he makes no decisions based on money. That's what he said. I know his son is a quarterback at Oxford High School doing really well, and I think, you know, Oxford's a good little small town, but I don't know.
It's where Ole Miss is. It can't be that good.
Yeah.
You know, I will say this. I want him to leave. I want him to leave. I want Ole Miss to be fade back into mediocrity, you know, and people in Oxford to be unhappy and wishing the world was ending, like I feel like in Fayetteville most football seasons. But he'd be an idiot to leave there.
He would. They'll build a statue of him there.
They will build a statue. They will build a – I mean, he will build the program. The program is headed in the right direction. He's got the things going. He's got everybody behind him. He will dominate from Oxford.
Absolutely.
He will not do that from Gainesville.
No. And I'm sure you've been to Gainesville, University of Florida.
I have. It's a pit.
I hate to say it. It's pretty bad
around. Why do you hate to say it?
Well, it is.
Do you have any customers in Florida?
Oh, yeah. And I'm an LSU fan, but I'll tell you this. We parked down Nicholson and had to kind of weave around the back way, and it was kind of – I even told my wife, I was like, it's kind of slummy around there. And I'm like, my goodness.
Well, now, wait a minute. Let's just hold up a sec. I've been to Baton Rouge.
You know where I'm going. I've been to Baton Rouge. Yeah. I mean, Baton Rouge has got some really shady places.
Well, I'll say this. The engineer that designed I-10 heading east across that bridge needs to be shot because the traffic will literally back up from Baton Rouge Bridge almost to Maringouin, where you turn off the I-10 to go north.
Who even knows a town named Maringouin?
You know what Maringouin means, don't you?
I don't have a clue.
Little fact here. It means mosquito in French. So let's move to Maringouin.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome. I guess I wonder what Jonesboro actually means mosquito in.
Ooh, I don't know.
Choctaw? Jonesboro.
Yeah.
Means mosquito in Choctaw.
Yeah.
Did you know that? We need to ask Grok.
I don't think it means anything.
It's in Memphis now, so it's probably not gonna give you the correct answer.
Does Jonesboro mean mosquito? Mosquito. No, Jonesboro does not mean mosquito.
Let's see, but what does it say about mosquito there?
It says Jonesboro is a city name. Mosquito is the Spanish or Portuguese word for a little fly. Skeeter is a North American slang term for mosquito. Mossy, an abbreviation primarily used in Australia for a mosquito.
Mossy. Well, you know what they say, Todd, about your Jonesboro comment. You never let the truth interfere with a good story, so it was a good story.
Well, that's right. Yeah. I still think that, I mean, I've never been any place where mosquitoes were as bad as Jonesboro.
Stuttgart?
No. No.
Really? Seriously. No. It's so bad.
Oh, my God.
Really?
So, we're right in the middle of the Delta.
They have the Delta and Crowley's Ridge. They probably get trapped there.
So we have all these rice fields.
I forgot about the rice fields.
And, of course, then you can come to God's country, otherwise Fayetteville, Arkansas, where there are no mosquitoes.
No mosquitoes.
You'd be shocked. You know, I live in Madison, Mississippi, and it's little hills, nothing great, but we don't have mosquitoes in our yard. Maybe one day a year. It's crazy.
Unbelievable.
I don't understand how we don't have them, but we have ticks in the woods, but no mosquitoes.
We got ticks and stuff, too.
Ticks are terrible.
Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
Yeah.
Lyme disease. And then that thing where you can't be eating meat.
I have a friend of mine that has that.
Apparently, alpha-gal. Everybody does. Alpha-gal. Yeah. Alpha-gal.
Yeah.
Why is it alpha-gal?
I don't know. So
that seems to, if I were a woman, I think that I'd be insulted.
Well, I don't think it's actually spelled like alpha gal. Yeah. Let's see.
Well,
again. It sounds like it is. Look, where I'm from in Louisiana, you just kind of spell it how you think it sounds.
It is, actually.
It is alpha gal.
Alpha gal syndrome, yeah. It's alpha dash gal. Do you have like alpha guy? Dude?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is insulting to women. Sexist. It is insulting to women to call a disease that you can't eat meat alpha gal.
Yeah. AGS for short, but yeah.
Who named it?
I don't know. Let's see. Good thing I have my computer.
Oh, yeah. You have that. I have a buddy of mine that eats a lot of ostrich.
What?
Yes, he can't eat steak, so he's got to eat birds or fish. And he'll buy butchered ostrich meat and grill it like steaks.
I've had the ostrich before.
I've never had an ostrich.
It's not that good.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Okay, wait, what name?
Okay, hold on. condition was linked to a discovery by researchers like Dr. Thomas Platts Mills. Of course.
A dude named it.
Alpha
he hates women.
Of course. Yeah, he does.
He hates women. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so I went to Beanfest this weekend in Mountain View,
Wait a minute, this is a hillbilly thing, right?
Yeah, okay, but it is like the most enjoyable hillbilly. Like, it's so hillbilly, you love it. So they do, it's Beanfest.
Why do they call it Beanfest?
Because they get these huge crocks and you get all these teams that cook beans and cornbread and you can vote or whatever. And they have outhouse races and they have to build their own outhouses. Like, it's, again, so hillbilly that I'm like, this is amazing. Anyway. Beans and cornbread. So we're walking up to...
That's just not something I think of.
No, I don't eat any of it. But we were walking up to the, where they were cooking it.
And there's a lot of farting going on.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, 100%. So we're walking up to where they were cooking it, and we were, just looking at what they were doing. And some gal was like, oh, hey, you can just walk up in there and get whatever beans you want. She was like, but be careful, because one of the gals who was cooking said that they used squirrel. And I was like, I'm not eating any of this. Yeah. I'm just going to walk away.
So they use squirrel in the beans.
In the beans, yeah.
That was another form of protein in there.
I guess. Yeah.
Hey, look, Number one, recently, you know, the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture was in Arkansas and had their big annual meeting for the first time ever. And I was there. And one of the events that they had that just happened to coincide with an event in Springdale was the World Squirrel Cooking Championship.
I don't understand it. It's so gross.
Oh, it's awesome.
I mean, okay. Admittedly, I've never had squirrel, but I can't imagine that it's awesome.
It is awesome.
I don't know. And then I just can't imagine putting weird stuff in foods that don't matter.
All right, wait.
What?
Jason knows this one.
Okay.
Debris.
Oh, Lord. That's a bad topic.
That is Cajun. That is a Cajun delicacy.
What is it?
Well, I moved to Lafayette, working the water cedar rice and sugarcane country back in 01. Mm-hmm. And my mother's from New Orleans, but they didn't eat debris. And I was in Kaplan, Louisiana.
Debris.
The hometown of Sammy Kershaw, Kaplan, Louisiana. And I had a good friend of mine, J.R. Stanford, that ran Crowley Grain. And they were always cooking.
Crowley Grain. Always cooking. I know that one.
Always cooking.
Yeah.
I walked in there, Matt Stelly, who's I think is still there. And a little bitty Cajun fella, Jason, come in here. We cook him some debris. I was like, I looked at that pot, and it was a skim of grease on top, and he's stirring it around. And I was like, okay, what is it? Oh, you got to eat some over rice. So he made me a bowl. And basically what debris is.
Wait. It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the thought of it.
It was good.
Yes, but you can buy pork and pork tenders and tenderloins, but basically it's spleen, kidney, heart.
It's
debris.
What do they call that out of the turkey when you the
gizzard?
Well, the
giblets.
Giblets.
Yeah, I've only done
I don't do that either.
But I will say this: my good friend Wayne Henskins, they cook beef tongue down there a lot.
Oh God!
And,
you get beef tongue tacos, a lot of places.
And I was like, I am not eating beef tongue.
No,
I'm not eating it. Then they had a big cooking at his John Deere store in Eunice, Louisiana, and that's all they cooked. And he's like, you're eating it. And it was actually very good. It's like, of course, they boil it and skin it, and then they cook it. And it's like the softest, most tenderest beef roast you ever eat in your life. It is very good.
Yeah, I can't do that.
But the aesthetics of how it looks is kind of scary. Mm-mm.
Yeah, well, when they put it in tacos, they chop it up really fine.
I had a beef tongue taco last week in Denver.
I'm worried about food. I couldn't do that. No. Like the boys, they have their trap, like, chili cook-off thing. And I know that they do a huge thing of chili it's a fundraiser. They put refried beans in it to thicken it up because that's how the kids like it. And I can't eat it because I'm like, that's disgusting.
It's a texture thing.
Okay. Yeah. Do you not like, so you don't like refried beans or you don't like beans and chili?
No, I like beans and chili. I love chili, but don't put refried beans in
there. I always
thought
you put dark red kidney beans or black beans.
I like the kidney beans. That's my favorite.
Yeah. Refried beans, no.
No, not in chili. And I'm like, oh, I can't.
You know, you can put a little flour in there and thicken it up.
Or cornstarch.
Right. Exactly.
Cornstarch.
I'm like, there's so many better options. Yeah.
Sometimes when I cook my crawfish etouffee and I put a little too much broth in it or whatever, I'll thicken it with cornstarch.
Yeah. So I mean, I do that with soups.
Or heavy whipping cream. You put some heavy whipping cream there, absolutely. Thicken it up as well.
Yeah, there's other ways to thicken it up.
Yeah, 100%. That's the school's recipe, and they're everybody loves it.
That is gross.
That's gross.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It is disgusting. Yeah. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah.
So chili and cornbread.
Tell me, are y'all excited about January for the IPSA meeting in Indianapolis?
It'll be good.
I don't know. Are we excited about it?
Yeah. I feel like we're always excited about it.
I'm worried about it.
Yeah.
It's a time of year to worry. Well,
Todd always goes through a phase of worry.
Yeah. Todd's always prepared. He shouldn't be worried.
No, I'm worried. Yeah.
He's worried.
Well, I know 2 years ago when it was there.
Look, the farm economy.
It was frozen. Remember that? It was like 0 degrees.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. Yeah. Yes, I do remember that.
I wish I could remember. We went and ate at this Italian restaurant there the last night I was there that was family owned. And it was, I'll find it and give it.
Oh, you need to find out because I'll tell you, that's the type of Italian place to go to.
It was, and the owner came and sat and talked to us. And they made their own limoncello. I bought a bottle of it.
Oh, cool.
And shipped it home.
Limoncello.
Yep. Huh. Hadn't drank any of it. It's been 2 years, so it ought to be good and fermented. but they had the best Italian food I've ever eaten in my life.
Well,
wow.
I'm telling you, it's St. Elmo's and the St. Elmo's for me and the freaking shrimp cocktail.
Yeah, the horseradish. Clean your nose out.
Yeah, the fresh horseradish. They grind it back there themselves, make it back there.
It is fun.
I've tried to do that, but you just can't source. It's hard to source.
Yeah.
Good horseradish in Arkansas. It's hard to get there.
Yeah.
It is fun to go to St. Elmo's with someone who's never been to St. Elmo's.
They get a big old scoop.
Big old bite. And you're like, that was a terrible decision.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, they come out there and somebody will just fork a full shrimp and throw it in their mouth, and you know it's coming. You might as well, when you see them fork it, you might as well just get the camera out.
Yeah.
It's kind of like eating some curry coughing from India. Yeah. Scoop of it. Yeah.
All right. Well,
it's
buddy,
fun.
It's always good to see you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank y'all. We'll look forward to seeing you down the road.
Yeah. All right, man.
Thank you, Tom.
See ya.
Thanks, Kat.
Thanks. What is that phenomenon called where you think of something?
The Mandela effect.
Yep.
The
that's
Mandela
what it
effect.
Is.
It's the Mandela effect, man. It's okay because in 2012, I mean, we're not really living in, you know, the real times. This is like the Matrix times. So, you know, this is not even real. We're all sitting in some pod getting some juice fed to us. And
this is a dream.
It's well, something. It's the Matrix, man. Now, shoot. Now I got to get this whole thing right. Did Darth Vader say, and it's even there in Google, did Darth Vader say, I'm your father? No. Darth Vader did not say, Luke, I am your father. The actual line from The Empire Strikes Back is, no, no, I am your father.
Huh.
The misquote is a classic example of the Mandela effect.
Oh, my
gosh.
Where
a large number of people incorrectly remember something in the same way.
We are all incredibly smart at this table.
You're killing it, Tom.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, there you are. Thank God there's Gemini.
Yeah.
Or ChatGPT, my personal favorite. Not Grok. I'm not a Grokker.
I'm not a Grokker either.
Nope.
Mm-mm. How about you? Your dad's not a big AI guy. We're joined with Jordan Van Trump yeah. and his sidekick.
John.
John with the glasses.
John with the glasses.
That's right.
Does John also walk around with a goat's head costume on?
That's not John.
That's not John?
No, nope. That's Bruce Wayne.
That is, no.
The guy we got doing it loves it.
Like clearly.
Like a mascot?
I mean, we have a mascot.
And nobody knows who
it
is.
Wait. Have you never seen the mascot?
No.
We're bringing him to the show.
Oh,
are you really?
Perfect.
Yeah. I've never seen him not as the mascot.
But so nobody knows who he is.
He's.
Some people know, but it's not like.
Like his wife knows? Is he married?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
His wife knows.
Yeah.
Who else knows? Nobody else in public knows. He shows up. It's not like.
But some of our customers do know. Like,
it's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, he's
Bruce Wayne. Yeah, I'm not buying that. Not buying that.
We used to like draw straws for it, and then he came along and.
I want to be the goat.
Yeah,
that's fair.
He's like, I want to try that. He doesn't let anyone else wear it.
I mean, if I were doing it, I wouldn't want anybody else wearing it either. Though that's the thing.
Well,
think about like sanitary reasons.
I've had somebody come in and say, hey, I want to wear your suit. I mean, like, no, you know which suit I'm talking about.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. No, they even said they wanted to wear my hair.
Ew.
That's not happening ever.
Gross.
You Santa this year?
No, Santa is Santa.
Oh, okay.
I am not Santa.
Yes.
Santa showing up this year?
Santa
is. You doing the deal at the square?
Oh, my God. Like. 12 times.
They're begging for it.
Dude.
When's it start? Next
Santa
week?
Claus, no. Santa Claus starts in Fayetteville, Arkansas on December the 4th. Santa shows up with the Christmas parade and the lighting of the Ozark parade. Santa makes his first appearance. Santa's on the square several times. Santa reads to kids at a couple of the local bookstores. And then Santa absolutely has got a couple of appointments at Arkansas Children's Northwest. So he'll be seeing children's family at Arkansas Children's Northwest and going to the autism school, the gray school.
Full schedule.
Santa's got a big schedule this year.
Santa doesn't sleep.
Yeah.
Santa does not sleep. Santa does not take payments. Santa only volunteers because he knows that Christmas is for kids and you deal with that and it's a great thing to do.
There you go.
You just give.
Yeah.
So Santa's awesome. So Santa's coming to Fayetteville soon. That'll be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I always love to see Santa.
Yep.
And the goat's coming to Indy.
Yeah. There is a possibility.
Small possibility.
Santa Claus may also be in Indy.
I like that.
Oh. Yeah.
On stage?
Post Christmas, you know, post Christmas, yeah, Santa Claus got to make a few off season appearances, and you know, it's a good possibility we have absolutely enticed the big man to come to Indy and see us all there
in the off season.
Yeah. In the off season, well, January is definitely January. Typically, is vacation month for Santa Claus.
Not this year.
No, well, you know, no, he'll come out, but you know, because despite what people think, the big man in the red suit does not go to the beach. You do not want to see that in a bathing suit. You just don't. It's not appropriate. So, you know, Santa's going to keep in the cold weather, but he does take some vacation, go see some people that he likes, and just has a good
vacation
old time.
Vacation in Indy this year.
Yeah.
Well, only for, you know, a short period of time. He can get in and out of places really
just
quick.
In and out.
Yeah. In and
out.
Up,
I'm out.
Yeah. There you go.
Travels fast.
Yes, that is true. Well, dude, you're going to come and exhibit with us at IPSA this year. I'm thrilled for that. We've tried to do it before, and the weather didn't cooperate.
Yep. You strong-armed me this year.
So. I did. Well, you know, bribery is great everywhere.
Yeah.
So what are you planning on doing? You're gonna do some cool stuff.
Yeah. We're going to set up our main exhibit, kind of show off all the custom stuff we can be doing for your companies. And then we're going to be doing hat bar, shirt bar. We got Gary showing up.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Shirt bar. We're doing shirt bar?
Yeah, we're doing shirt bar too.
All right. So what is the shirt bar?
Shirt bar is basically the same as the hat bar. So we customizing everything.
No. Does that mean that I can get a shirt and you're going to slap a patch on it, or you're going to write it?
We're going to print on it.
You're going to print on it. So it's going to be like a t-shirt print.
T-shirt, yeah.
So you're doing t-shirts. Screen printing or heat press or what?
We're going to do heat press. It's a lot easier to
I figured. I'm like,
transport.
You can't screen print
on
site,
can you?
You
can do a lot more designs. We can, but it gets a little crazy.
So I got a new Ford Bronco.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like in Bronco Nation. I'm in Bronco mindset. I mean, it's Bronco everywhere. So I need something that's got a big Bronco on it.
All right. We'll
but make it like abnormally large. Like from the very bottom.
No. It's not. It can only be on the back like that. It can only be on the back. Look, I don't want a big Bronco tat. I mean,
and
I don't
like
want something like that.
The tail goes around.
No.
Did you get rid of the truck?
No. Are you kidding? Big Blue? Big Blue's just taking a break.
Sleeping.
Yeah. Well, not really sleeping, but Big Blue driving around Fayetteville is big. Big Blue doesn't like to park anywhere. They got all those tight spaces in Fayetteville. It goes chugging down in that big diesel. You know, all the crazy lefties get really hacked off at me going by, and I'm like, hey, this diesel gets great fuel mileage, you know. And besides, it's big, and it's a freaking tank, and people are intimidated, and it says the dreadnought on the side. And I mean, you know,
nice. It's
awesome.
Yeah.
But I needed something a little bit less conspicuous, so I got a Bronco.
Is it tight in there?
In the Bronco?
Yeah. I've never driven in the newer ones.
Well, it's not like being in Big Blue.
Yeah.
It's massively huge, but it's kind of comfortable and quaint. It's comfortable and quaint. It's quaint. I've got the Gen 6 Bronco. It's a 2025 Marsh Gray, so it's like a little camoed. Matter of fact, here's a funny story. And I don't mind sharing this with our audience because it's one of those things. But so a week ago, 2 weeks ago, it's been 2 weeks now, almost, week and a half, there was a big charity event for the American Cancer Society in Fayetteville. It's called Suits and Sneakers. It was started by, you know, basketball people and everything. So you wear a suit and you wear tennis shoes, which I wore my 1997 Air Jordan 13s from the He Got Game movie. Me and Denzel Washington, we bros in that, had his shoes, only shorter, not as big. Anyway, so we went to this thing and walked in and, you know, got a table, a lot of cool stuff going on and a lot of money raised for cancer surviving. They had this deal. It's called a bottomless bourbon glass. Now, look, it was just freaking glass that said suits and sneakers on it. You know, it's like a little bourbon glass. $50. Okay, we're raising money. Here, $50, give me a glass. And then I walked over to the bourbon bar where they had all kinds of great bourbon. And I said, hey, what can I get with this? Well, anything you want. Well, I'll have a Blanton's. Would you like a double? Well, of course. A double would be great. So I got my double Blanton's, and I'm thinking, I've got my bottomless bourbon glass and $50. And I said, okay, so if I want another one, do I need to buy another glass? Oh, no, that glass is good all night. You mean I can just come back and get another one? Absolutely.
It's actually a really good idea for fundraising.
Well, except for this. I did six visits to the bourbon bar.
Oh, my.
Now, with a double Blanton's each time, I outperformed myself. That, you know, when you're at my store, at my restaurant, we charge you like $30 for a double Blanton.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did six of them.
Yeah, but I guarantee you the bourbon was donated.
Oh, well, it had to be because that was $180 worth of bourbon and I paid $50 for
How
it.
How are you still alive?
Well,
grit and will.
Yeah, how'd you get out of there?
Yeah.
My wife came out.
She said immediately,
hey, I'm going to drive. I said, I can drive. No, you can't even think about driving. Give me the keys. She got the keys. We did stop by Theo's on the way out to see everybody. I was told by one of our employees later that I was on, quote, one ski.
One ski.
I really didn't know what that meant, but he said that that meant I had one ski on the ground and one ski in the air. It was not a good thing. I said, okay. But that's not the story. The story is the four-wheel drive custom shop that I love in Northwest Arkansas donated a $10,000 package for auction.
And you won.
Unfortunately, I did.
But it was like after you'd already done all of your customization.
I'd already done some customization stuff, yeah. but now.
And that's when you got the Bronco.
No, I already
You're
had
like, the, I got this package, now I got
to
use it.
No, I had the Bronco. It already been up there and had some stuff done to it, but now it's going back on November 13th, and it'll be there for a week, and it's going to come out as Super Bronco.
What are you getting on it?
What am I not getting on it?
Yeah,
I think,
that's probably
well,
a better question.
Okay, so it is, you know, it is one of those things. And, of course, we're not talking about anything stock talk or ag swag, so this is not even smart, but it's fun, at least for me. So, you know, I got the big tires. I got, you know, some lights and getting steel bumpers. I thought about a winch, but I thought the chances – I've had one winch, and I've always messed it up. So, you know, I turned side-by-side over and tried to winch it out, and all I did was drag it on its side. So I thought, no, winch is not the thing. So what do I really need?
You need a snorkel.
I need a snorkel. Exactly. And what are the chances are that I'm ever
–
that's what the guy asked me. He said,
never going to use
he
it.
He said, are you really planning on putting this thing in the water? Absolutely not.
Wouldn't even think about it.
That's it. But I could. So it's going to have a snorkel on it.
That's just crazy.
And while I did get the cool-looking snorkel –
I was already thinking ahead.
Yeah, see there. Jordan knows me.
Yeah.
Fellow Razorback.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right.
So there, think alike. There you are. There will not be a snorkel. Although I will say that
Please
I was.
We bring snorkels and we like put stickers on them, but like swimming snorkels.
Yeah. We're going to give away snorkels.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Thanks a lot. So the other thing is that, and of course, also I should say at the EBSA Annual Conference, we're going to have some great speakers. We've got David Horsiger coming, who's going to be talking about why trust matters now more than ever, which is certainly a big and timely topic. And then we also have Graham Cochran, who's going to tell us about
how to stand out amongst everyone else.
You wear a goat costume.
Yeah.
That will make you stand out.
It will.
That's
absolutely
true. Yeah.
Or Minecrafter sunglasses like John over here.
Yeah. We got the standing out down.
So John, I do have to
what
ask
is
you
the
a question.
Story behind the Minecraft glasses?
You've worn them every day for like 8 years?
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, Do you sleep with them on?
Bulk?
He does.
Yes. The answer to both of those questions is yes.
Because I noticed when we came in the other day, you were wearing lime green ones, and now you have blue ones.
Yeah. So I don't know how or why, but I have an itinerary for the colors of conferences. It always starts with the green and always ends with neon pink. I don't know how or why, but... The trade show seemed to work well, so I don't want to break the issue.
Well, you know, green and blue I like. That's kind of Ipsos colors. Yeah. I mean, it's a good ag mix. There are a lot of green and blues, but hot pink is just not. So your dad's got a 66 Bronco.
Yeah.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Or no, wait.
69.
69. Your mom has it.
It's my mom's.
See?
He just got one of them. It's my sister's, actually. What is that? A Dodge?
Dodge Warlock.
Warlock. One of them Warlocks.
What is that?
With the wooden beds.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's a freaking cool name.
Yeah, the war. It was like green one.
God, I love that.
Yeah, he was like backing in his driveway. He's like, yeah, I got you guys a present. And I'm like, oh, damn, I just got it. It's actually for Kennedy. I'm like, oh, cool. Cool, dude.
Didn't you say, She's a girl.
Yeah, she loves it.
Yeah,
why never drives it.
Oh, yeah, those are cute. It's like the classic little like Christmas tree truck.
Yeah.
I really love Christmas, okay? Yeah.
Oh. Dude,
it doesn't look like a warlock.
No.
It's not as intimidating as one
would. Yeah, if you're going to call it a warlock, it ought to be badder than that.
Yeah.
It really ought to be. But not that it's not cool.
I think it's 70 something.
That's cute.
My first vehicle is 1972 GMC green pickup truck.
There you go.
It had two significant things about them. One, it had a standard H on the column. And two, it had a broom stuck in the back, standing up. That was my dad's way of saying, here's your truck, there's your job.
Oh, that's fair.
There you go.
Dad was direct.
Get to work.
Gotta love him. From that standpoint. All right. What else you need to tell us about Ag Swag? I mean, you know, we have a lot of fun. This is a business that you and I guess you and your dad started.
Yeah.
Or did you just start it and he decided to fund you?
Started out.
I mean, it's four years, 5 years.
This January will be the start of our fifth year.
Great.
Started out. It was kind of his idea. I had a bunch of shit going on. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And then I kind of took it over, and that's when we kind of started blowing up. But started off with just a $10,000 loan from my dad, and I've kind of made it all happen from there.
Wow.
Did you have to pay him back?
Oh, I had to pay him back.
What? Oh, big yeah. KVT, he could throw that money away, and no, he wouldn't even know it.
I had a year to pay him back, or that thing was getting interest. He's like, nah.
He gave you a year interest free.
Yeah.
Well, that's something.
Oh, yeah. You don't mess around.
Well, dude, I'll tell you what.
This is real life, son.
Now,
it's like, you're lucky it's coming from me. Or...
Yeah, I guess that's right.
That's true.
I'll tell you what. I really like, I like the Ag Swag stuff. I like everything you do. I mean, one of the things that really comes in is y'all do some high-quality stuff, and it's super cool from that perspective. I mean, we bought some stuff for IPSA for the PAX. We've done some stuff with Earth Optics, of course, for you. And, I mean, y'all are doing just a ton of customers out there. Yeah. Not to get in too much of your business that you don't want to share, but how many customers do you think you got right now active?
Well, we probably got, what, maybe 2,000, 3,000
customers? Oh, my gosh. That's
awesome. It's getting crazy.
Okay, so it was just essentially
we're
you
up
in
over
the beginning?
20 people now.
That's what I was about to ask.
Yeah. No wow. kidding.
Yeah.
That has blown up.
Yeah,
that's a freaking scary payroll to start making.
Yeah, it's you got to make some bread every couple weeks to
oh,
pay
my gosh,
everybody.
Yeah. But that's crazy.
We got a big warehouse. I bought that. We redid it. Things are going good. I mean, I'd say we're turning more into a marketing company.
Yeah.
So helping with the ideas, the strategy, everything around swag. So, and it's all, the nice part is it's all free. Like, yes, you pay for the swag, but it's a free service that we charge basically just thanking you for your business.
Well,
it's an incentive to work with us too.
It's a lot of fun. And I mean, I've seen y'all around at all the big shows. I mean, I know that y'all are at Farm Progress this past year with a big old space.
Yep.
Of course, you've been Commodity Classics, been a big one for you.
Yep.
And I mean, you always have the goat there.
Oh, yeah.
And the goat's the thing, man.
Yeah.
that's awesome.
CattleCon, we've been doing CattleCon.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
What are our other good shows? I mean,
IPSA. IPSA's going to be a big one for you.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it should be.
No,
big.
But what other big shows are y'all going to?
World Dairy last year.
Yeah, World Dairy. It's kind of like niche-y, though. Like, we did decent there. It was cool to see.
Well, now, wait a minute. Was that the one up in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Weren't you up there?
I did get it. Which one did you say?
World Dairy Expo.
No, we didn't do World Dairy.
Oh, World Dairy.
It was PDPW, cool, I'm pretty
sure. They do, like, the dairy, like, show cattle there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
look,
yeah.
I know that. I've been to World Dairy. It's probably been a few years, but you know, I grew up on a dairy farm, and so there's that kinship of understanding that thing and thanking God every day that I'm not a dairy farmer.
Yeah.
But holy crap, that was a hell of a show.
Oh, yeah.
It really was.
Yeah. We just finished up American Royal Sunday. That was a two-week deal. Oof. We got the NAFB deal coming up.
Are y'all going to be at NAFB?
Yeah. It's right here in Kansas City.
Well, yeah.
So
yeah, may as well.
Might as well hit that one. NAMA is always a good show.
Yeah.
It's kind of our market, though. Like, that's right in our wheelhouse.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good for y'all.
Do you see any competitors there at all?
None. Yeah.
You know, years ago, there used to be some. I think you've scared everybody out of the business.
Maybe. We do. Farm Progress, we actually saw branded bills there.
Really?
Yeah. And they do all the custom stuff, too. But I don't know. They were, like, walk around in, like, skater outfits and stuff, so... I don't know.
That doesn't really fit. Yeah, like
that's not really the vibe, man.
No.
They were in skater outfits?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. they had like the flat bills rolling and skinny jeans and
oh no.
Oh yeah. I was
that
like,
doesn't seem
it
well
seems to me that you kinda audience. Like those flat bills.
I think the flat bills are cute, yeah.
Yeah.
Dad, I don't wear them. I mean, if I do, it's backwards, but I like the dad hats. Like
dad my hats. Wolf hat. Dad hats.
You
dad
guys
hats
going out to the World Agritech this year? Or?
We're not.
No.
No, sir.
It's an arm and a leg to get out there.
It is an arm and a leg yeah. to get out there, and then you're out there, and it's hard to get back, and yeah, it's a lot.
But
it's
you'll
a big
be at
conference.
FarmCon. You'll be at FarmCon.
I will be at FarmCon. It'll be exciting yeah. to be there.
How's your show shaping up? Good?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about where
Wait,
everything's
I thought
going.
FarmCon was on top of Ipsa. Is
well,
it
that
not
was
this
last year?
No, that was last year.
Okay, okay,
Todd
okay.
intentionally did that.
I did not.
He was trying to take us off the map.
No, are you kidding me? can't do
it's
it.
Cut into our yeah. profits a little bit.
Oh, yeah, because I, did, I didn't show up. That,
exactly.
That really cut into the profits. Uh-huh. I think you had the biggest, practically biggest one you ever had last year, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, last year was our biggest one.
So. You know what? Honest gosh, so was last year's Ipsa. It was our biggest one ever.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And it was in Palm Springs.
So how long, I mean, this is maybe a dumb question. How long has FarmCon been going on?
I want to say this is maybe our ninth year.
Okay. And like, what... The first year you did it, how many people did you have that attended?
My dad did it, and it was hell, like a get-together of, wasn't even like a name. It was just like a get-together of like 20 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And now it's like over 1,000, right?
Yeah. Last year we had over 1,400.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
At the Lowe's in Kansas
At
City?
At the Lowe's.
They're obviously living right because everything they touch blows up.
Yep. Well, that's big KVT for you, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he's bigger than life anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he'll sure tell you what you want to hear or what you don't want to hear. He'll give
straight.
You he'll give it to you.
Yeah, you guys are on that deal out at Oldies.
Yeah, my moment of thinking I knew everything else and put my foot straight in my mouth. It's not the first time that's happened, but I mean, it was like, well, you know, I was talking about the row crop situation and everything going on with the row crop farmers, and then I went into you know how much money they're not making, and it just. I was rolling. Then I started talking about how high price steaks are, you know, and I know these farmers aren't seeing any of that high price money. Well, in fact, the cattle farmers have a great time, great run on that. It's like, yeah, I should have just stopped while I was ahead.
Yeah, it happens.
Oh, well, anyway.
Yeah, I was just talking to him. He was just trying to aggravate me, calling me like, hey, what are you doing, man? I'm like, dude, I'm at this show. Like, what do you need?
Who's that?
My dad.
KBT? Yeah.
He's like, oh, just seeing what's up, you know, just... How's life? I'm like, life's great. He's like, I can tell he's like in the car driving around. My mom's laughing too. Like, ah. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, it sounds like you're really getting after it today, man. He's like, I'm just about to go sell some gold and silver I bought 10
yeah.
years ago.
Well, time to sell it for darn sure.
Yeah, he's selling some of that, like the actual like gold bars and silver stuff.
Actual stuff, not just like things.
He's got physical. He went and dug it out of the safety deposits box. He's like, hey, I better go get rid of some of this stuff.
It's good to be Kevin Van Trump. That's all I can tell you.
He's like, I'll tell you what, I'm probably making more money than you today. I'm like, huh.
Oh, well, yeah. And
that's why he called you. Yeah. It was just to rub it in your face. Yeah.
We'll give an unadulterated commercial for the Kevin Van Trump's daily report, something that I've started out every morning reading. Yeah. And, pass on a lot of tidbits back and forth. I really like the newsletter.
That thing's been awesome. Again, that was just some deal. My dad started blogging and just blew up. But, yeah, that thing's honestly done so much for our family. And
I can see that.
Incredibly blessed. And Ag Swag wouldn't be where it's at. FarmCon wouldn't be where it's at. We would be nowhere without the report and our supporters and our readers. So that thing's honestly gonna pay off for generations to come, I would imagine. So,
well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Jordan, appreciate you very much. John, thank you for being here. Yep. I'm glad y'all are having a good show at the Western, and we look forward to seeing you here at Ipsa in January.
Yeah, we'll see you at FarmCon
first.
And then we'll see you at Ipsa next week.
All right,
next
man.
Next week after.